Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Well, the not one bit of economic data, because we do get Richmond Fed coming out a little bit later. But the data that everybody watched today is the Case-Shiller home price report through the month of October. The year-over-year gain, 4.3%, better than economists had forecast. Carl Case of Wellesley College is one of the founders of the Case-Shiller operation. Puts the data together. And Carl, thanks for joining us, as you do monthly on this issue. And it looks like we are finally getting some traction. We can say maybe we're there in terms of a recovery for housing.
Well, it depends what you mean by there. If there is a bottom, I think we've hit it. But it's not rebounding in a way that it has in the past four or five cycles. Housing starts has always been the big leader in the economy when things start to recover from recessions and from down periods, and it's been absent. It's been actually a drag until the last two or three quarters, but it's now turning up, and it's turning up from a tough bottom, a 60-year low, where it's hung out for probably almost 4 years.
Now, Carl, I'm looking at the rebound in Las Vegas, which, you know, on the surface looks great. But the volume of homes sold is down 50% year over year.
Yeah, that's the paradox. You see, you don't see many properties trading. It looks like things are down, but that's because people aren't putting their houses on the market. I think people have dug in, decided they're not going to sell, and it's different in every market. And if you look at Las Vegas and Phoenix, the ones that are up, they were down 50 or 60%, and they're still down 30% on average. So it's encouraging in the sense that it seems to have turned up, and it's now a tailwind for the economy rather than a headwind. But it's still been a rough ride, and it's not over. But ask me if I'd rather have a headwind or a tailwind. I'll take the tailwind any day.
So in a broader sense, I'm looking at some Bloomberg data, and I see that we have roughly 13 million first mortgage holders are either in negative equity positions or near negative equity positions. 22.3% of all first mortgages are in negative equity positions. Do we need to have some sort of comprehensive policy coming out of Washington to address this?
It depends what happens. If prices continue to rise, of course, the number of those properties will decline a lot. And indeed, people are starting to buy them up in large measure. The market is doing it in a lot of places. But we do have a policy, which is to try to get people credit. But the banks aren't. The banks are under a lot of pressure to stay very clean. That's a big problem for the market, because credit is still very tight.
Well, there's a move out there to reprice mortgages according to credit risk. Is that the answer?
Well, it's going to be the answer, but people are going to be surprised. What we're doing now is we set one mortgage rate, basically, per type. There are different rates, but by and large, we have the 30-year fixed rate. And the 30-year fixed rate is for people who have pristine credit. So everybody else is just turned down. It's on off. What it's going to be over the next 3 or 4 years, as Freddie and Fannie evolve into something new and the FHA stops playing as big a role as it's playing today, is people who have bad credit records or who have dents in their credit record will have to pay a higher interest rate. And those rates could go up to, you know, instead of being at 2.5, they could be up at 3, 4, 5, and even much higher if they had real credit problems. So instead of turning everybody down who's not pristine, we'll be credit rationing by letting the price rise for those who impose risks.
Which, from an economic point of view, makes sense, but there's also the intermediary in there, and I wonder if there's a danger that banks will take advantage of this and people will still remain priced out of the markets.
Well, it depends on who you might take advantage. If they're allowed to raise their prices, if they can raise their prices, they will. And they're not going to. I think they're really watching that they don't have to go through the same kind of thing we went through in 1990 or in 2008, which was very, very tough. As we know, we had to bail those banks out. So I don't want to see us return to the boom days. But I think this, the things that are slowing us down are the resolution of the Fannie and Freddie problem. Are we going to go to risk-based pricing? We got some demographic worries, which are a lot of people decided home ownership wasn't the be and end all that they thought it was for through 25 or 30 years of rising home prices, when it was just a terrific get on the horse and ride it. So there are big worries out there, including the tax laws. By the way, if you look at what's left on the table that people agree about, it's unfortunate, but it looks like the housing sector is going to take a hit in one form or another, whether it's the mortgage interest deduction or the taxation of capital gains. It's all going to affect housing in a negative way, precisely at a time when it's starting to turn around.
Now, I know one of the issues that doesn't get talked about enough is the problems with HELOCs, especially in the Northeast and in the Pacific West Coast. I think that's one of the real problems here in preventing the market from normalizing is, what do we do with those second mortgages when they're just sitting there on the bank's balance sheets for homes that are just never going to be worth that much?
They're not worth that much. If they threw them all on the market today, it would be a nightmare. There's still a lot of litigation. It's going to keep the lawyers in business for a long period of time, trying to figure out who is responsible for those. And so they're retaining their value in the sense that some of them are going to get paid and some of them are not, depending on the litigation. But it's a problem. I'll tell you, there's a lot of paper out there. It's not just HELOCs, not just home equity loans. It's mortgages. The amount of mortgage backed obligation that's on the books of the Fed is very big, over $1 trillion. And it's also certainly on the books of Fannie and Freddie, and it's not all marked to market yet.
Let me ask you a question as we move to the end here that I'm sure everybody at every cocktail party you ever attend asks you, and you're going to say it depends on where you live. Is it a good time for me to sell my house? In other words, are we going to continue to see good news in the housing industry of prices going up and people having a little bit better chance to get their homes on the market, or are we still going to be nervous?
Well, you're seeing that happen. I mean, people are coming back into the market. It's if you look at the interest rates, and if you have a good credit rating, I mean, my students graduating with bachelor's degrees from Wellesley College are able to actually buy houses in Boston these days. I mean, they have to stretch to do it. But it's 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, before the bust, would have been absolutely impossible. Prices are down, interest rates are down. The cost of owning is heavily subsidized still, because the interest, the actual yield you earn on buying a house is you live in it. That's not taxed. We call it imputed rent. There's also the capital gains you earn on housing is not. You don't pay any capital gains tax, basically, at least under the current tax laws. So it's so favorably treated. The prices are so low, it's hard for me to imagine we don't see much of a boom. We're seeing a little boom, but it's a recovery. It's not very strong, but it will continue. There's no doubt about that, because housing is, relative to what it's been over the last decade, very cheap.
Carl Case, thank you very much for being with us today. We can hope that things continue into the new year.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.